It's my privilege to stand up here in front of you today and to share what God has laid on my heart. Folks, this morning I stand up here, I want to talk about being an authentic man of God. Being Father's Day, I want to talk to the fathers here and to the men. And I can honestly tell you as standing up here that I've failed at an authentic man of God multiple times. And I fail almost on a daily basis. And I think that is true with us as men. But I believe that most men, but I am also here to tell you that all it takes to turn it around is just to be realigned. It takes a little bit of realignment. Most of us know what realignment on the car and trucks mean. It means once in a while you take your car in, you take your truck in, and they take and realign the wheels and make sure everything is running straight. If you don't do that, your tires start to wear unevenly. The tire pulls to the one side when you let go of the steering wheel. It drives a little bit rougher. And if you don't take it and get it realigned every so often, it'll end money down the road. So, folks, the same is true in our lives, especially us as men. And today I believe we as men in this world are out of alignment with what God intended man to be. We have guys in this world who are not taught what it means to be a man because there is no fatherly figure in their home. In a 2017 U.S. Census Bureau report, more than one in four children live without a father. That's a lot of guys out there who don't have that man to look up to, him to shun. We have guys out there shaped by the world's view, by media, by social media, by Hollywood. And they learn what it means to be a man by those means. Guys that just lost their way. But when they get to college and they're out on their own, they sort of lose their way and they start following the world's view. So I'm here today to speak and try to encourage us as men and as fathers that God wants us to be authentic men of God. And he also wants us not just to know what it means, is he also wants us to pass it on to the next generation. So what we need to do is start out with a definition. What is a man? What makes a man? So I have another little video clip of a reporter on the street type of thing asking everyday people what it takes for a boy to become a man. And it's sort of shocking what people think.
Fire away.
Good one.
Stumps a lot of people.
Yeah, this is a stumper.
Now, this is going to be a hard question to answer.
I feel like I should have more experience in this than you, but I don't.
What really makes a boy a man?
You assume that they do become a man, right?
I imagine science can define it. I mean, certain age, I guess, at that point, but...
When I was 5 years old, I think it was about 10. When I was 10, it was about 13, I was a man.
I guess you say puberty, but it's not necessarily true.
When you drive a car.
When you stop living with your parents.
I don't think it has to do much with age. I think you can be at 15 years old, or you cannot be a man at 40 years old.
I don't know if they ever really do.
We have a lot of grown boys acting out the part.
And I thought, like, I became a man like after the army. That's what I thought.
When he gained responsibility of self.
Probably when he experiences sex for the first time.
When he has to take care of someone.
When he probably loses something really important to him.
I think a boy becomes a man when he, takes a step to put other people before himself.
When he understands what family means.
A boy is someone who wants, thinks for himself, presents, gifts, stuff like that. And a man is someone who wants the best for his family and children and things like that.
Doesn't rely on others to do for him what he should do for himself as a man.
There's some very interesting definitions of what it means to be a man. Some say a certain age, some say puberty, old enough to serve in the military, have sex, drink alcohol, and the list goes on. But it's sort of sad that that's what defines a man. Boys are growing up today without positive and authentic male models who can teach them what it means to be a man. This is not always because there's no father in the house, because sometimes there is a father in a house, but the father has checked out and not leading his family the way God intended the family to be led. So this morning, I want to take a look at what the Bible has to say about being a man. And for all of us fathers here today, it's our job to help teach our sons and the next generation what it means to be an authentic man of God, not just by our words, but more importantly, I believe, by our actions. Several years ago, I was asked to lead a small group of men who had small sons, and this Bible study was about raising a modern-day knight. It was a book by Robert Lewis. And this study was about fathers teaching their sons about authentic manhood. It helped us dads to sort of understand what it means to be an authentic man of God from the Bible view, but also then helped teach our sons what it meant. And in this Bible study, this curriculum, they used the knighthood back in the medieval times, help us dads to, you know, celebrate the different stages in a son's life. Just like the knights, when they were becoming knights, they had different stages. They were the page stage, which was about puberty. The squire stage, which is about 15 to 16. The knighthood, school graduation or college graduation. With my son, he graduated from high school last year, and we did a knighthood ceremony with him, with a whole bunch of guys that he looked up to. We ate, we spoke truth into his life, and then we knighted him into knighthood. And then the last stage is knights joining the round table. And this is about time they reach marriage and basically telling them, now it's your turn to help teach the next generation of men and boys what it means to be a man. And this was a very eye-opening time for me. At this stage in my life, I was playing a very good game of looking good, looking like I had it all together in my life. But in reality, I was a mess. It showed me that if I didn't try to get my life straight, I could potentially be teaching my son how not to live his life. It was then that I committed to bettering myself, not only because it was the right thing to do, but also because I wanted my son to grow up to be a man of God. Several years after that, I was also then asked to help lead another Bible study, another group of men, in the series called 33. And this series, 33, looked at the life of Jesus, his 33 years of ministry here on earth. And it used the same definitions of the raising a modern-day knight on what it meant to be an authentic man of God, but it also helped us men to look at our past hurts, our past, the way we grew up and how it shaped us, and then how it is, how we are today, and then how we can move into the future. And this was a very good study for me to help me realign. It's the constant realignment that I needed into becoming a man of God. Join this study of raising a modern-day knight, one of the things we were supposed to do is we had an activity with our son, and we were supposed to take the definition that we worked on, we'll be going over here shortly, but we had to take the four main points of what a definition of an authentic man is and put it into a family crest. So we were supposed to work with our sons, come up with what a family crest would look like. And this is what my son and I came up with. A gentleman at our church was a graphic artist, and we were able to give him our sketches, and then he then in return made graphic for us. And this is what we designed it to be. Actually, when my son was at the Squire stage, I actually made him a little plaque that he has in his bedroom that reminds him every day of what it means to be a man. Because all those symbols on there relate to something, and we'll see that here shortly. So to create a biblical definition of manhood, let's take a look at the Bible, where we can see two men who fundamentally shaped every man's destiny. Men in the first book of the Old Testament was Adam. The other man is found in the first book of the Old Testament, and his name is Jesus, also called the second Adam. The first Adam was supposed to be what an authentic man should be, but failed. The second Adam, Jesus, was a man that all men should aspire to be. I want us looking at reading scripture today. The scripture passage is 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 49. The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. So this morning I want us to help take a look and define what it means to be a biblical, authentic man of God. And so I want to take a look at these two Adams, the first Adam, and then Jesus, to help us make this definition. And this definition is very simple, but yet very profound. The first part of the definition is a real man rejects passivity. My son and I chose the arrows to represent that an arrow is useless unless being pulled back in a bow and fired. It's useless unless it's being used. Passivity is defined as this: a trait of remaining inactive or a lack of inactivity. Passage I want to use is, I changed it from when I gave it to Jan. It's my prerogative to do that. After I was looking at it last night, I found another verse that I thought fit a little bit better. And it's in James 4, verse 17 of the NIV version. If anyone then know the good they ought to do and don't do it, it's sin for them. Passivity is just knowing what you should do and you don't do it. If we look at the first Adam in Scripture, he was placed in a garden. He was given leadership over it, to care for it, to protect it. We see that trouble came along through the serpent. And we see him not stepping up, not protecting the garden and his wife when the serpent tempted him. But instead, he took a passive role, which now infects all mankind. Genesis 3, verse 6. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate. Now listen to this. This is important. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and ate it too. Now that part, for many, many years, I read that over and over, and it never really struck me till a couple years ago I read that, and I'm like, wait a second. And I went back and reread it. Adam was there with her when she was being tempted, and he did nothing. That speaks volume. Then we take a look at the second Adam, Jesus, when he was faced with issues as well, when faced with death, within the weight of the sin of the world. He didn't stay passive. He could have stayed up in heaven saying, Dad, I don't want to do this. I know what's at the end for me, and I don't want to do it. He didn't do that. He came to this earth, accepted it, was active. Luke 22:42. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. He was willing to be active even up to the end. The takeaway from this part of the definition is, when it comes to living an authentic manhood life, we need to reject the natural instinct of passivity. We need to step forward, even if it's uncomfortable, and become an active participant in the world in which God has placed us. The second part of the definition is, a real man accepts stability. And you see there, the symbol up there, it's the Spider-Man symbol. We chose that because of the one line in the movie, with great power comes great responsibility. Men, we need to accept our responsibility. We need to take ownership of our sins. Stop blaming someone else for it. Be ready to accept the consequences for our actions. It also means to understand we as men were given responsibilities to do while here on the earth. Colossians 3:23, work willingly to do whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for. As we look at the first Adam, we see that he was given three tasks or three responsibilities: a will to obey, which was God's will, a woman to love, which was his wife Eve. The third was a job to do, to rule and subdue the earth. Yet, when the enemy came with the temptation that there was something better rather than these responsibilities, the first Adam turned away from them and he sinned. But as we look at the second Adam, when we look at Jesus, we see the same responsibilities given to him: a will to obey. And throughout scriptures and throughout life, he always stated it was his will to do the will of his Father. He had a woman to love, his bride, the church. And he had a job to do. His job was to come to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. And he finished it. He completed every one of those tasks. He didn't shirk his responsibilities. Instead, he lived up to them by ultimately dying on the cross for them. The takeaway for this one is, we as men need to step up and be active in our God-given responsibilities of God's will for our lives, loving the women that God has given us as our wives, and to do wholeheartedly the work that he's given each of us to do. Thirdly, a real man leads courageously. And we chose the lion because lions are one of the courageous out in the wilderness. For me, it was because of the Wizard of Oz, the cowardly lion. He wanted courage. Life isn't always easy, but we need to be strong and courageous. Joshua 1:9, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The first Adam was faced with the opportunity to intervene when his wife was being tempted by the serpent. He could step up and lead, but he instead folded his arms and became a spectator. Sadly, this is how many of us men handle it now, as we step away from our God-given responsibilities. But the second Adam, Jesus, he gives us something to look forward to, something to aspire to be. As we look at his life, how he was faced with trials and temptations in his life, and the pain he persevered and overcame, leading courageously, even while hanging on a cross. Our takeaway for this is that we need to overcome a fundamental mental challenge, which is to collapse back into our feelings. The first Adam was faced with the choice of leading, and he chose not to lead because he didn't feel like it. Instead of standing up courageously and on principle and to lead by taking charge of the moment, the serpent led them into sin. So instead of following the first Adam, We need to follow Jesus. When he was faced with a temptation, he said, "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus led courageously on the word of God. We as men today need to step up and lead in the same way. Last part of the definition is a real man expects the greater reward. And we chose the olive crown, which symbolizes winning the race, winning the prize at the end. Don't take the easy way. There is a great prize awaiting only those who persevere. Revelation 22:12 says, "Look, I am coming, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds." The first Adam believed, actually, that the greater reward was following the serpent's temptation, following God's plan for his life. Sadly, it ended up with death and pain, which still infects us today. The second Adam came to the earth and was offered the same rewards by the same the devil, but instead rejected it because he believed that there was a much greater reward to come. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the second part. "Because awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarded its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." Man, the takeaway from this is ultimately we need to rise by the first three parts of this definition. But we need to keep our eyes focused on that prize. When I was younger, I worked for a farmer for a little bit, and I was taught that helping him plow the fields, to make a straight plow, I needed to focus on something at the other end of the field, a fence post, a bush, whatever it was, and keep my eyes focused on that the entire time driving that tractor. I did that, and I looked back, the row was nice and straight. But there were times where there was a bump or a rock or whatever, and it threw me off, and I was looking around. I looked back at that row at the end, and it was all crooked. That's the same way with the way we need to live our lives. We need to keep Christ and his example for us as men in the forefront, in front of us. We see in Hebrews how Jesus, the same principle, when he faced with the cross, because of joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Jesus' end point was not the cross, but it was the reward beyond the cross. We as men need to be like Jesus and understand that there will be pain and heartache in our lives, but at the end there will be great reward for us. What joy it will be when we stand in front of our Savior and hear, "Hey, well done, good and faithful servant." As I conclude this morning, we look at the contrast between the men that stood over history. One casts a shadow and his manhood, while the other one brings light into the world and redeems manhood. So as we compare these two, we see a great biblical definition of manhood in the life of Jesus. I close with from Brian Carter, who was one of the presenters in the 33 series. He says, "Imagine with me for a moment of what could be. Imagine a world where men led in their marriages, where men led in raising their children, where men led in protecting those who are weak and oppressed. Imagine a world where men aren't passive, where men don't merely dominate hobbies, but in areas of eternal significance, where men take the initiative for the benefit of others. This is the future worth fighting for. We were created to live as men." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we just want to thank you and praise you for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to give us an example of what it means to be a man. I just pray that as we go throughout this day and throughout this week, that we continue to grow. We look at our lives, and we look at how we need to be realigned with your word, with what it means to be an authentic man of God. And I just pray, fathers here today of small boys or grown boys, that we will learn to share and to show our sons what it means to be an authentic God. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Yeah, stand and worship.